Muchas gracias, muchas gracias, Mexican style. Muchas gracias, champion. Campeón.
The podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it just the
body punching?
When I was hitting him with body punching, I heard him actually, he was crying in there. You're saying your big group crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely,
time.
Absolutely, but I knew you were cuffing and taking those punches.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another morning show edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NessGTO. Let's go, baby. Let's get ready for some boxing.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! I'm ready!
Well, today really isn't boxing talk. It's more aftermath, right? It's more of Oscar De La Hoya's immediate reaction. And his reaction was, it was definitely something that was on his mind. So much so that he wrote an open letter to fight fans. And, you know, quite interesting on Oscar's behalf. And I like it. You know, we give Eddie Hearn a lot of credit for his promoting tactics. So we got to give Oscar a little credit for coming to the aid of his fighter. But I will open up with the opening paragraph before going to my co-host. And everything that I will read moving forward is a quote from Oscar De La Hoya personally, who sent out a mass email to all media members. And he says, in an open letter to fight fans from Oscar De La Hoya, "Dear fight fans, on the night of Saturday, September 15th, fans were set to be treated to what sports should be all about. The two best athletes in a sport squaring off against each other, with the winner earning the title of the best in the business. The kind of event where an individual can be called the best in any sport is truly rare." So let me get and introduce my co-host, and we're going to bounce this one back and forth and then open up the phone lines to you. That number to call in, 1-425-569-5241. And just say quick FYI to all my UK fans out there and listeners of the show, TBV will be in the building mañana. So look for me on the IG at NessGTO. Let's connect. Let's do it big. Don't buy me a drink. Get me a J. Let's go out to my main man, Mike.
I speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. I can't say it enough. I speak it, believe it.
Two attempts, handed bands over. Sicko hit, shot and miss, two to stand over.
Turn up.
Breadwinner, huh? Look who in the building. Let me check my Instagram. I might be at a million.
And I'm in.
BoxingWizards.com.
Yo, 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 yo. What's up, TBB family? We back with another one. Oscar De La Hoya. Hey, I ain't gonna lie to you. I read this letter like 3 or 4 times, and I would have to say this is a very rare occasion, but I would have to agree with Oscar De La Hoya. Like, all the backlash and all the keyboard warriors, as he said, it's just, I mean, robbery talk is nonsense. I'm just sorry. Like, at the end of the day, a robbery, in my opinion, is nonsense. So let's get into it.
Well, back to Oscar De La Hoya's words, and I quote, "Not only did the fight itself deliver all that was promised, against all kinds of pressure, Canelo Alvarez gave the performance of his lifetime to secure the unified middleweight championship of the world." And Oscar has bullet points. Bullet point number one, and I quote, "Unfairly criticized for not fighting Mexican enough in the first fight, He kept Gennady on his heels all night, taking the action to the boogeyman of boxing, walking him down and controlling the pace. Mike, your thoughts on bullet point number one. Do you feel that he walked the boogeyman of boxing down and controlled the pace?
Man, he walked his ass down for damn near 12 rounds, bro, backing him up, kept him on the back foot. Triple G, people said Triple G was landing his jab, 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 jab. The only reason he was landing his jab because Canelo was coming forward and he was trying to maneuver his way out. So when you're coming forward like that, of course your jab is going to land a little bit more than normal, but Canelo had him pushing back. He was ripping him to the body. He was throwing combinations, and every time he did something like that, Triple G just looked uncomfortable. It was going either back or side to side.
I want to hear in the chat. We got plenty of people watching this live show early in the morning. Good morning, TBV. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button as you're jumping into this live stream. We're going to be going live multiple times today. We're going to put in a lot of work because we're leaving the United Kingdom, but we got a special treat. I'm going to keep my mouth closed, and hopefully Friday in the UK I could bless you guys with this special treat. But good morning to all my boxing fans. We're here. For those that are just tuning in, we're talking about Oscar De La Hoya and the fact that he's ripping all these keyboard warriors, all you internet trolls, all these media members saying that Canelo Alvarez robbed Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. So we're in bullet point number one, and Oscar saying, listen, you said he wasn't a Mexican. You said he wasn't fighting Mexican style enough, and he walked this guy down. And you know what? I agree with him. From the opening bell, he brought it to Triple G, and all of a sudden Triple G thought he was Billy Joe Saunders or Tyson Fury. And that's not what we're used to. So when you give us something that we're not used to, don't, you know, get upset when things don't go your way.
And remember, in doing like a post-fight interview, Abel Sanchez said, Triple G did not fight the way that I want him to fight. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, Abel Sanchez is always saying something, but the sad part is they are the ones that asked for Mexican style. They are the ones that wanted Canelo to stand in the center of the ring. And, you know, again, to quote Oscar, he walked the boogeyman down.
What it do, TBV family? This your boy Dollar. If you want to beat like you heard on the show, hit me up on Instagram at Dollar DiBiase. That's D-O-L-L-A underscore D-I-B-I-A-S-E. Let's get it.
Quick little shout out to our NB producer, Dollar DiBiase, always keeping us tight with new beats. If you're looking for an intro and you're a little jealous of how, I don't know, maybe an Amin sounds or a Stainless from Detroit, you know, maybe Dempsey, you know, the ringer. Well, Dollar DiBiase putting it down, getting it in for TBV. Holler at him on Instagram and Twitter. Mike, what up?
I was going to respond to this guy in the chat saying that no member of Press Row had Canelo winning. No matter what members of Press Row have, man, I'm not a fan of media members.
I don't even believe that because I was at the fight. I was credentialed to the fight. Ain't nobody asked me for my score. Daniel Alvarez was credentialed to the fight. They ain't asked for his score. That little list floating around, what is that? The list of the people that chose Golovkin and were deciding to keep the Canelos off the motherfucking list because Sean Jatel was there. I can name about 12 motherfucking people that was there that are not on that list. So fuck out of here with that bum-ass list of a bunch of people that, well, not a bunch of people. It's a bum-ass list of some crackhead fan that is trying to paint a narrative and push an agenda. So, of course, you'll leave off all the media members that did pick Canelo and make it seem as if it was only media picking for Triple G. But let's not forget, on Press Row, there's tons of media. And then there's media that don't even get in the Press Row that's in another fucking tent somewhere in Las Vegas watching a fight in closed circuit. What about their scores? They don't count because they was on TV and they weren't influenced by the judges. They weren't influenced by the crowd, excuse me. Like, man, get out of here. Boxing is crazy. I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's like a cowboy show. It's like a fucking Wild Wild West, the rodeo out there, bro. It's sick. But anyway, back to the points. And I quote, repeatedly revoked for two positive drug tests that showed minor traces of clenbuterol, a common occurrence in Mexico due to the contamination of beef across the country. Canelo submitted to more than 20 drug tests in the lead up to the fight and passed them all with flying colors. Mike, do you think that Canelo was treated unfair because he was overly tested and criticized for the failing of the, you know, PED, performance enhancement drug, you know, that was found traces of clenbuterol? Was he being ridiculed?
I wouldn't say he was being treated unfairly because, I mean, he did fail a drug test. And when you do something like that, you got to own up to it. So as many times they wanted to test him, that was fine with me. But I do believe that the media and some media members maybe held a grudge against Canelo for that failed test. And maybe some of those scores were influenced by that because you see it all the time. And I mean, I know that he fell a test, but 20 times, I mean, guy's clean. So it looks to me that the contaminated meat was a source of that clenbuterol. And remember, like when it first came out, they said traces were so small that it was in correlation with something that was contaminated. So I say all that to say this, maybe people still hold a grudge against him for that mixed drug test.
So then some of what Oscar's saying here could be true. You know, he's been, you know, ridiculed a little bit and really put through the ringer when it comes to drug testing for this new fight, because they're saying over 20 times he was tested for the lead up.
Yeah, but you can't say put through the ringer when you fail one drug test. I mean, no matter what's going on, you got to do what they tell you to do.
I agree with you 100%, strictly playing the devil's advocate. I haven't given my opinion on the second bullet point. I will now. I believe that, like Mike says, you tested positive. You know, they have every right to knock on your door 5 times a day just to make sure, double check that you're not, you know, straying away from what you're supposed to be doing, because there was doubt and you put that doubt in our minds. So it's up to us to clear it. And the only way to do so is strenuous drug testing, is to pop up randomly, and is to have you know, a couple of fights, not just one fight where they tested you 20 times. Let's do it 5 or 6 times, you know, and it's like, damn, they still testing Canelo 20 times, and it's embedded in his mind. I can't eat that type of meat ever again. Once again, I got to continuously remind you to hit that thumbs up button when you're joining the live stream. It helps with the visibility of the show, lets me and Mike know, hey, we like morning shows, so give us more, you know, and yeah, keeps us working. So let's
yo if you're listening on iTunes right now, please leave us a 5-star review. That really helps with the visibility of the show and helps us get the show brand and name out there. And also, if you want some exclusive content and chances to win some prizes, go on over to Patreon and sign up at Patreon/the Boxing Voice. Thank you.
Saddled with judges' cards of a year ago that he had nothing to do with, the pressure of millions of fans watching, and what many were describing as a must-win to stay relevant, Canelo delivered a near flawless fight. Bullet point number 3. Do you agree that Canelo delivered a near flawless fight, and that he did it under pressure due to the scorecards from last year, and, you know, the fact that people thought, listen, it wasn't a draw, you robbed him?
No, like my scorecard are a little bit wider than everybody else's. I had to fight 8-4, 116-112, so I felt Canelo was controlling the pace all night, controlled the tempo all night. Never was in a position where he looked like he was uncomfortable. Had Triple G moving about like he was the second coming of Floyd Mayweather. I mean, the guy just put on to me, he put on a dominant performance. I wouldn't say a flawless victory or near flawless victory, but I would say that his performance was dominant.
I got to agree with you and Oscar. I also thought it was a near flawless fight and performance. There were obviously things that you can do better. There's always something you can do better, each and every one of us. No one is perfect, but he definitely came close to fighting a perfect fight. He gave us what we wanted and gave the opposition what they asked for. And I do believe that he was under that pressure, and that's why he stood there and fought. You know, this is the first time that he fought outside his character, and I'm just glad he was able to do it successfully. Because many times we see fighters fall victim to the ridicule, the critique of the media or the fans. And a la Andre Berto in the Robert Guerrero fight, you fight outside of your game plan. You try to become someone else on fight night, and you end up losing to someone that the world wouldn't expect you to lose to. So I agree with Oscar on this final bullet point. And we're going to go to a little bit more because this is a long letter to the fans. And I quote, "And yet, it wouldn't be boxing if thousands of keyboard warriors weren't talking or tweeting complete nonsense in the hours and days after Canelo began to cement his legacy as an all-time great fighter. Many have told me to ignore the haters, that I'll never win, but while I know I won't convince many of them, allowing them to even partly soil what was a certain fight of the year, a mega event seen by millions of people, and a vigorous performance by boxing's marquee fighter would be a disservice to the sport I love." Mike, thoughts on thoughts on Oscar's decision to give us his immediate reaction and make it public. You know, he could
love it
to himself and close to the chest. We didn't have to know that the keyboard warriors got under his skin.
I love it, man. It just goes back to show you that he has his fighters back. And also he made a great statement. A great statement within that that paragraph you read. "Even though that I probably won't win or convince you guys otherwise, I'm still gonna come out here and put put myself on the line for my fighter, because I believe that he put on a performance that was worthy of high praise and high respect, and you guys are not giving that to him. So I totally respect Oscar for doing this. I wish more promoters or fighters would do this too."
I agree. And, you know, I think this is Oscar, you know, realizing that guys like Eddie Hearn are very vocal and taking some of the heat, shielding their fighter from the ridicule, right? Like, instead of AJ being called the duck, people blame Eddie Hearn for the fight not happening. This is what Oscar is doing. Oscar is trying to, you know, deflect a little of that negativity away from Canelo so that he could bask in his glory, because he did get a win. We're going to go on to the rest because he addresses everything, and he has this in bold. So this is another subject he wants to address. "Golden Boy paid the judges to fix the fight, Mike." You know, we hear this all the time, so I'm really excited.
Bro, I was shocked when I seen that.
That he went at this way, and that he even, you know, put this.
I was shocked.
Me too. I was shocked. But before you give us your immediate, let me read it and then get to you. Where are we? Okay. "Golden Boy paid the judges to fix the fight." And I quote, Though I don't think this deserves," he should have put a response. It just says response. "Here are the facts. Three judges were chosen by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Given the result of the first fight, NASAC NSAC was under a lot of scrutiny to come up with the fairest group of judges possible. For the first time I know of, Golden Boy Promotions and Team Triple G were even allowed to approve a pool of judges. They saw what everyone else did, a close competitive fight, and scored it exactly that way. Your thoughts, Mike?
I was shocked that he even addressed judges being paid. Like, I thought that was a taboo topic, but give credit to Oscar. He came back out and he pretty much answered and talked about everything people were out there saying about judges being paid, about Canelo robbery, about all that. And actually, the one judge that was from the last fight, he scored the fight for Triple G the first time. The second time, he scored the fight for Canelo. So that goes to show you that I don't believe judges were being paid, because the one guy that scored it for Triple G the first time had a Canelo win in the second, and I forget his name.
Hey, but that might be how he got paid. They're like, yo.
Come on, man. Get out of here. You really think that I mean, I'm new, I'm casual, I understand. But do you really think that the integrity of boxing, that people actually take money to, like, call fights in a way that they're, like, shitting on the sport? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about growing the sport, right?
And yes!
It's all about
– yes!
It's all about making more money. And the way you get more money is have more casual fans invested in the sport.
Exactly. And what do casual fans know? They know Canelo, not Triple G. The bigger fan is Canelo. The bigger guy is Canelo. So they want that guy to win. But let's get back to it.
Hold on. So you think that the...
You're right. Let me give my take on Oscar saying Golden Boy paid the judges to fix the fight and addressing that narrative. I just don't know. I don't know what anyone is capable of. I know the lows that I used to be in. You know, I know the shit that I used to do. So anybody is capable of whatever.
Yeah, you're right about that, bro. You're fucking right about that. Damn.
Bottom line for me. You know what I'm saying? Is a promoter capable of paying a judge? Yes. Is a judge capable of accepting money? Yes. Is Oscar or the judges that scored this fight capable? That's up to you. You know, that's up to you to decide. Going to the next topic, Golovkin landed more punches and therefore should have won the fight. That is the narrative being pushed, and Oscar addresses it. He says, if landed punches were the difference between winning or losing a boxing match, we would have had an incredibly different and less interesting sport. Clean punching, ring generalship, effective aggressiveness, and defense are what judges are looking for in determining the winner of a round. I'm obviously a promoter, but in the four areas that actually count in judging, I can't find one where Triple G was the victor. Can you find one area, Mike, where Triple G was more effective at clean punching, ring generalship, effective aggression, and defense.
Effective aggression. He was on the back foot all night. Defense. If you've seen the post-fight pictures and you've seen the work rate and you've seen how Canelo was walking him down, then you see his defense wasn't up to par. Ring generalship. You can't be a ring general when the guy is forcing you in positions that you don't want to be in. So in effective aggression, that goes to show you what I mean. Who was the aggressor the whole night? Who had Triple G on the back foot? Who was not giving up an inch no matter what the fuck Triple G did? Canelo would take punches on the glove, stand right there, and then throw something back. He was like doing like the peekaboo guard, take some to give some. And then when Gennady got off of his combos, the combos really didn't push Canelo back. If they did, it worked for a split second, and then Canelo came right back with some of his own.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah, now, I don't know. I don't know.
Agree on everything.
I don't know if all right, let me just see again. Clean punching. Well, he damn sure landed the cleaner punches. Ring generalship. I'm going to say that's 50-50. You know, it kind of went back and forth, or maybe 60-40, 70-30, something like that. But it's not like Canelo controlled it every minute of every round. General, like a generalization of the fight, did he control it? Yeah, because he was the main one coming forward throughout the night. But, you know, he changed it up every now and then. Nothing like he used to. He never switched to that low gear where you thought he was just tired. He didn't show signs of fatigue, not to my eyes. So Oscar had another point that he wanted to address, another narrative. He says, Tom's Lawfer's statement that he doesn't know if Golovkin can win a decision in Las Vegas. And I quote, perhaps Tom is just looking to make Triple G feel better. But regardless, this is maybe the most disappointing comment because it comes from someone who knows the sport. Of course, Triple G can win a decision in Las Vegas, but 22,000 people aren't going to crowd into the T-Mobile Arena to watch Golovkin fight and blast out the likes of Dominic Wade, Willie Monroe Jr., or Vanez Martirosyan. He is going to need to fight a higher level of competition and then fight better than that opponent to earn a victory in the Mecca of boxing. Boxing is a wonderful sport that is coming back thanks to streaming technology and growing international interests, which translates to YouTube and UK. But it is a sport that also faces competition, not only from the outside in the form of other, more widely watched leagues, but from inside where the fractured nature of boxing has made it tougher and tougher for the best to face the best. Just look at Celebrity Row to see how special Saturday night was. There another best in sport athletes, LeBron James, joined by Will Smith, Mark Wahlberg, and a huge group of other A-list celebrities to witness something special. While everyone is entitled to his or her opinion, especially in boxing, let's take a moment to appreciate what Canelo and Triple G gave us on Saturday night and work towards doing it more often for the sake of the sport we all love so much. End quote. Mike, thoughts on Oscar really bodying Lawfer?
Well, let me take the first part first, and he's totally right. We don't want to see the likes of Dominic Wade, Willie Monroe Jr., and Vanez Martirosyan. We want to see high-level fights against high-level competition, and when that happened, Triple G hasn't looked like the boogeyman that he once did. Also, boxing is a wonderful sport, wonderful sport, and I just hate that we don't have a network. Like, well, we do have a network, but I just hate that certain networks promote and push a certain agenda that bleeds out to the masses and kind of shapes their opinion on the fight without them really watching it themselves. That really gets on my nerves, because when I watch ESPN, I see First Take and shows like Get Up and shows like Sports Nation talking about boxing, which, when they normally don't ever touch it, and they have an opinion that just totally off basis, it just fucking pisses me off. So, and as far as the celebrities being out, like the celebrities were out that whole entire night, and having somebody like LeBron James in the building really shows you that another top athlete really appreciates another high level athletic competition.
I was shocked to see all those A-list celebrities. I seen LeBron. I was like, you heard me. I was like, oh shit, he brought LeBron out? And then I was like, oh shit, he brought Will out. You know, that was big.
And Chappelle too. Chappelle
always there though. Chappelle's always there. Yeah,
he's still one of the A-list stars.
Nah, we don't see LeBron at a basketball game. I'm covering these shits. I don't see LeBron there. So that
Charles was Barkley.
You know what I mean? Nah, we see Barkley. We see Barkley. No. We see Wahlberg. I don't see LeBron. I don't see Will Smith. That's not often. I remember.
Nah, you're right. That's true.
Came out for the Floyd fight with his wife. I think he brought her out. Maybe McGregor. Maybe Mayweather Pacquiao or Mayweather McGregor. Will came out. But like, Will don't be coming out. Don't get me wrong. I know that Will is a new Will. He's social media Will now.
Oh, yeah. He killing it.
He's actually fantastic social media Will. Like, his Instagram is fucking, it has to have a producer, editor, everything. Because that ain't
incredible.
Instagram post. Like, this dude is doing some phenomenal shit on his Instagram. But, yo, he brought him out. That's big to me. That's big to me. Listen, I like that Oscar came out. You know, listen, and I'm not taking sides, but he did ether Lawler. Because he's right. Lawler should know better. To say that Triple G can't get a win in Vegas is a slap at the Vegas Athletic Commission, you know, Nevada.
Not only that, it's a slap at Triple G. He don't think his fighter can go out there and put on a performance dominant enough to make the judges say, hey, clear win right there for him.
I mean, listen, I just don't know why we're here. I don't know why there is a contingency of people that believe that Triple G won if their team is saying he didn't follow the game plan, if he fought outside of his normal characteristics. We didn't see the power. We seen an excess of jabs. Like, I don't understand, you know, what people are like.
And that's what I'm saying. When a network is able to shape the opinion and views of the masses because they have the fucking volume and they're listening to these guys talk and they're not translating what you really see.
Well, you know what? That comes down to Oscar, Mike, because Oscar has to decide, am I going to keep taking these HBO checks or am I going to go deal with someone else that at least is going to give us a fair take? Because guess what Mayweather did? See, a man of principle, people call him money and money hungry and he's all about money. But think about what he did. He systematically left the biggest network. So he could have taken a pay cut. He could have taken a pay cut, but he actually negotiated more. But he went to a smaller network. He left HBO because he felt he wasn't being treated fairly. Because in every post-fight, it was the same thing. You know, oh, you're boring. Or this guy deserves a rematch. You know, so it's like Canelo is starting to get the same thing.
Absolutely.
It's like, bro, you fought the guy they said you wouldn't fight. You fought him now twice. You know, you've proven you're a bigger draw by doing pay-per-views with people that no one else could do a pay-per-view with these B-sides and do the numbers you do. Like, what the fuck does this boxing world want? This boxing media, what do they want from Canelo? He's the smaller guy moving up, too. It's not like he was the middleweight. Like, Triple G, everybody's so sad for Triple G because he waited around for a junior middleweight who was a career welterweight in Miguel Cotto. He actually started his fucking career at 140. And he waited around for Canelo, another dude that was a welterweight. So what the fuck, man? Like, tell this motherfucker he should have done something. He had his opportunity with Ward. We can't be sounding like that. We can't. It just don't make no sense. Triple G waited around for these guys because he wanted to. Now you're saying he got old. Now you're saying they made him wait till he got old. He could have moved on. Canelo wasn't even a middleweight. Triple G wasn't fighting catch weights. He wasn't fighting below 160. But he waited for Cotto and he waited for Canelo because he knew those were the bigger names. He knew that. He couldn't get Cotto. Cotto went the Canelo route. But like, yo, we got to stop this ridiculousness, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't like the fact that Max Kellerman at the end of the post-fight, and during the post-fight interview, he was like, yeah, Triple G caught you with some great shots. What is your chin made of? And he was rocking you. He was moving you all. I'm like, bruh, no, he wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck are you even talking about? I know that 10th round when Triple G came out and he had some fireworks. I'm talking about some fireworks. But about 2:15 left in that round, Canelo buckled down and started walking his ass back down and started putting on him. So it's not like it was just it was just like Triple G was hurting the guy. Like I didn't see Canelo really hurt at all during that fight. If not,
listen, we're not going to go back and forth anymore. Let's open up these phone lines. We're going to get out to our callers. If you're interested in calling in, you know the number to call in is 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time to voice your opinion right here on the Voice of the People hotline. Don't forget, add Nesta Gibbs on Skype. If you want to be international, call in absolutely free. Download the Skype app on Android or iPhone app market and get to talking. We're going to go out to our sponsors and then to the callers. Remember, I'll be in the UK tomorrow. Let's link up. I'm doing Fight Week. Plus, you know, Wilder's going to be out there announcing the Fury Wilder fight on Monday. So I'm in town all week. Holla at your boy. Super chat me them L's. Like, can I get some love? What's up, Mike?
I was going to say my guys Ness going to the UK tomorrow. So if y'all could, cash up Ness. GTO, super chat him right now. Join Patreon, PayPal, whatever you got to do, man. Support.
Actually, you know, we're going to have a ax Deontay Wilder, ax Anthony Joshua, ax Tyson Fury.
Ooh.
Maybe an ax Billy Joe.
Ax Eddie Hearn.
Anybody, I think. Ax Eddie Hearn for sure. You know, I already been texting Eddie, so definitely.
Ax Frank Warren.
Definitely Warren. Definitely.
Whatever y'all want to do, man. Definitely. Y'all go over to Patreon and sign up right now. Right now.
My post will be out today. I got a couple of errands I got to do before. You know, I got to hit up Best Buy. Got to go to get a haircut. You know what I mean? I'm leaving tonight, basically. So,
what time you leaving?
It's at 7:55 in the morning. But, you know, for the international, you got to be there 3 hours early.
Damn.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I ain't taking no chances. I'm trying to, like, make sure I win and not miss.
Oh, you got to go through like a motherfucking a cavity check or some shit.
Nah, well, listen, it's different for you. You fly through the airport, remember? But
I just
went to the UK, dog, and I went 3 hours early, and it was just making it. Like, it wasn't like I was sitting at my gate for a bunch of time. Nah, it's just the international lines are crazy long. That was my first time flying internationally, so I didn't want to make any mistakes, and it was actually perfect. So I think this time around, I don't even remember if I left from New York or Newark last time, but I'm leaving from New York this time, which is going to be even worse. JFK Airport is like fucking ginormous. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely got to get there early. But I'll be landing in Heathrow, London. I'm going to be stomping through London. Why? Because I'm everywhere. You never did. Why would I ever care? Pound for pound, best interview would have ever come around here. Talking my shit early. It's the morning. We're going out to the sponsors, then the callers. Let's do it.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! I'm ready!
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at El Camino Electrical Services.com.
Javier, buenos días on Skype. What's going on?
What's up, man? What's up? I ain't called in a while. Been on a different schedule. But, I mean, I feel like y'all giving Canelo a lot of credit. I ain't giving Triple G nothing, man.
Give him some credit then. Give him some credit.
I mean, I'm actually rewatching it right now. But like Triple G, I mean, I feel like Canelo landed big shots, right? Okay. But then y'all also will say about other fighters, bro, why he ain't pumped the jab, why he ain't use the jab. When Triple G uses the jab, he using the jab, why he ain't fucking coming forward.
It's like that jab is not keeping a Canelo off of him.
All right. I'm watching it. All right, I'm in the third round right now. He slipped most of Triple G's punches. A lot of the shit was hitting off of gloves, and he was slipping shit. Have y'all rewatched it since what's his name?
I watched it like 6 times. I've seen it like 4 times so far.
But like, I mean, I feel like Triple G won the last four rounds for me. He won the last four.
You're smoking now. Now you're smoking.
Smoking how? How? Yeah, explain to me how.
I think Canelo was in control. The only round that I think Triple G won clearly was round 10 out of those last four. The 11 and 12, the 12th round for sure he didn't win. The 11th round is close, but I gave it to Canelo. And the 9th round, totally a Canelo round.
I feel like y'all ain't giving him his credit because he didn't fight like you used to seeing him fight.
And but why didn't he do that?
Wait a minute. I'll be the first to admit that I think that there are some people that feel that way. But answer Mike's question. Why didn't he fight that way?
So, okay, maybe I feel like, all right, he felt like, okay, Canelo, I think he felt like Canelo had a little more power this fight. So he kept the jab pumping. I feel like the jab was working because Canelo landed some good shots, but Canelo just went in there just fucking working Triple G. Like, y'all, he's coming forward. That's fine. But also,
watch them body punches, man. Watch the body punches.
Yeah, I give him that. He landed good body punches. But
I hate to cut you, but it is a morning show, and I got to travel today. I got a list of shit to do, so no one can get 3 minutes today. We're giving everybody a minute. You got lucky to get 2 minutes and 30 seconds, so consider yourself lucky. We're going out to, let me see. Let's mix things up and go to the Longhorn State.
JD, motherfucker.
A lot of things I like to do, so man, just try to get on my game.
I don't know why they're going to call me, but I'm a 54-pounder,
but I have a brother that's 160.
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What up, what up? Good morning.
Dylan, man, yo, I had Triple G winning, man. I saw this fight a lot like Danny Garcia, Sean Porter, a little bit, like, I saw Triple G doing more work, you know, kind of like Sean Porter. Not in the same sense, but he was letting his hands go the most. Now, one thing I paid attention to was every time, you know, Canelo, he did get good shots off. I give him that. But every time he did, almost every time, I mean, I saw Triple G answering with a get off me punch. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's two ways to look at it, man. Either you had the Canelo goggles on or you had the Triple G goggles on. Me, I had no dog in the race. You know, I
all right,
I
so who
like
you seen win?
Guys,
so who you seen win?
You said Triple G.
I had Triple G.
Oh.
I had Triple G being a busier guy.
Busier with a jab, bro, and getting counter to the body and getting combination punch with uppercuts and left hooks?
Again, after he was doing all that, Triple G was answering.
Answering with a jab, because I literally was telling people next to me, like, yo, something's wrong with Triple G's right hand. They're like, nah. I'm sure like, bro, did, so yeah. Why he ain't throwing it then? Let's start counting.
Real quick before you cut me, though, remember, if you having a verbal conversation, the last word counts. You know what I mean? The last punch counts as well. But I got to go, though.
All right. I don't know what that meant.
I've been saying, what the fuck did that mean?
But I see people in the chat saying, like, what, a jab doesn't count? Yes, it counts. But if you're jabbing me and I eat your jab to land two body shots and a fucking uppercut,
like, to make you fucking move from left to right and do the cha-cha.
I see. Listen, I don't care. This is trilogy talk to me. We needed a trilogy. I was tired of talking about Pacquiao and everybody he's fucking fought 8 times. I'm ready for a new trilogy. Let Triple G do it. But Canelo stops him this time. It's over.
We got a super chat from our guy, Andre Diakonu. TBV going to visit Cousin Eddie and Uncle Frank.
And little bro Joshua. Or should I say Johnson? Let me get out to Jason on Skype.
What's up, man?
What up, bro?
Yo. Kind of real glad y'all brought up this little letter from Oscar, man. This is pretty hot, man. Yo, well, I'm gonna start with the fight first, real quick. How I saw it, man. I definitely had to give it to Canelo. I had Triple G. I picked Triple G, so I got to eat a lot of crow. I think I gave the analysis that, you know, Canelo's gonna fade in the middle rounds. And Triple G is going to start stealing, you know, from 6th round going forward, probably win maybe 1 or 2 out of the first 4 or 5 rounds. didn't go anything like that in my eyes. I mean, I think people got to differentiate amateur boxing and professional boxing. Amateur boxing, literally, anytime the front of that glove lands on either the body or in the face of the opponent, that counts as a point. Professional boxing, it's about who's dealing out the most damage, not about landing and scoring points. It's a huge difference between amateur and professional. So I want the boxing fans to really get a good understanding of that. And then two, who would you have rather been, Triple G or Canelo after the fight? Just look at him. I damn sure wouldn't want to be Triple G. Not the way he looked. You know, there was visible times in that fight where he looked like he was, to me, in the sixth, seventh round, he looked like he was almost on his way out. Triple G, that is. So, again, I just can't see how people, so many people are seeing it for Triple G, even though that's the guy I picked going in. Now, back to the letter, I think your boy Oscar De La Hoya is being kind of disingenuous. He's being a little phony. But let's be real. That scorecard by Adelaide Byrd was nuts. That scorecard for the Mayweather fight, the draw, was even crazier. Then he had another scorecard that was nuts in the Lara fight. So we don't think it's a big coincidence that for the number one cash cow in boxing, three of his biggest fights, he then got one of the judges to give a crazy scorecard. And that has
90 that seconds.
That same coincidence hasn't happened for a lot of other big name boxers. It's only happened for Canelo. And since Canelo is his only main cash cow, it would just make sense if that's why it's happening, because there's some influence by Golden Boy. But yeah, man, that's my call, man. Y'all gotta keep up.
That's a good point. Good point, man. One thing that I want to touch on that you brought up is the fact that there's a difference between amateur boxing and professional boxing. You know, amateur boxing is when you try to score punches and score this and score that. Professional boxing is what are you doing to break down your opponent. And the guy just put it, he put it the best way that I could even touch. But next caller, Ness.
Yeah. I had to make that barbershop appointment because I'm going to the UK. So I'm going to be in Heathrow, London, baby. I'm going to be out there
and also,
7 days. So get with your boy. I'm everywhere.
I do found efficient.
I'm just saying, Mike, hold on, because I'm just saying I'm on my New York shit right now. I'm clapping my hands while I talk B, because word is more on B. I told them they should have never let me in the motherfucking K.
Now I'm here
every time. Every time something pop in my mouth, dude. I'm going to make it hard for y'all to breathe. I'm just saying.
And then Eddie said he's going to give you the time with Joshua.
Pressure. We're going to see what Eddie do. We're going to see. I'm getting out there and I'm going to apply that pressure. I know that. Let's go out to Donald in Richmond, California. Talk to me.
What's up? So I'm a Triple G fan, and I had went for Triple G, but I just got to go on the points for Triple G and Canelo. As far as Triple G, I mean, he let Canelo walk him down. You know, he wasn't the boogeyman like how he was supposed to be. He wasn't the knockout artist like how we thought he was. And it looked like he really couldn't do nothing but use his jab because Canelo was moving and going to the body. And the most stupidest thing of the whole scenario of what I thought is that Abel Sanchez begs Canelo to stand there and fight. But when Triple G got in the ring with Canelo, it looked like he didn't even have a game plan to do anything to Canelo if he actually stood there and fought with him, which I thought makes no sense. You begged him to stand there and fight with you, but it looked like you didn't have a game plan for what you begged him to do. It made no sense. And I can understand how some people could say rivalry, because in my opinion, it's like if Canelo won this fight and it looked like Canelo fought the same way Triple G did in the first fight, why didn't Triple G get the nod on the first fight? Well, it's clear. Like the other caller said, obviously, Golden Boy, they're doing something with the judges to keep Canelo from getting another L, because that's the main cash cow. So that's what they have to do. Cut it.
After Oscar responded to that, and don't think I cut you on that, you got actually more than the fucking minute. Because I'm so busy. I'm doing a million things, so y'all getting more time. But even though Oscar replied to that, he still think Oscar is paying the judges. Let me just reread it so my man Oscar feels good. Oscar says, Golden Boy paid the judges to fix the fight. And I quote, Though I don't think this deserves response, here are the facts. The three judges were chosen by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Given the results of the first fight, NASAC was under a lot of scrutiny to come up with the fairest group of judges possible. For the first time I know of, Golden Boy Promotions and Team Triple G were allowed to even approve a pool of judges. They saw what everyone else did, a close competitive fight, and scored it exactly that way. Let me go out to my co-host in the UK.
Robbie.
And the main thing we cannot forget is I am the unified heavyweight champion of the world.
Dylan White, Derek Chisora, Big Baby Miller, Joe Joyce, you can all have it coming in Brazil. Whoever else is in America too, all of it.
What's going on, Big Robbie?
How you doing, Mike? We're in there. How you doing? I'm trying to get us a table booked at Nando's to see if we can get any shit happening.
This guy is fucking awesome, bro.
I don't think they're gonna let me in Nando's anymore, bro.
Yeah, man. But yeah, quickly wanted to comment on the.
Yeah, what are you frying? You frying chicken or it's raining? What
the hell? No, it's just watering some plants. Oh. And by the way, you're getting hella messages regarding some kind of plants. Now they know you're coming over to the UK.
Messages coming because I need those plants. Call me Green Thumb.
But yeah, I just wanted to comment on, I forget the name of the caller, he said about the difference between the amateurs and the professionals. Amateurs is...
It was James, I believe, James.
Yeah, you have to land a. You merely have to land a glove, and that's the scoring point. And in the pros, it's about the damage you're dealing out. But how does Billy Joe Saunders ever win a fight? He's not particularly delivering out damage, right? He's just scoring.
Nah, you can't say Billy Joe was fighting like a Gennady last fight. Come on now.
I'm not saying he was Gennady was super slick, but what does Billy Joe Saunders do? He makes you miss, lands a jab, pumps a jab, and he wins fights.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you one question though, Rob, real quick. When he fought David Lemieux, did Billy Joe look to be uncomfortable in any kind of distress, getting pushed back, or was he putting on a boxing clinic?
No, I know what you're saying, but to say that Triple G lost that fight by so much because he's not doing any damage.
To say that Billy Joe and Triple G were the same fighter in their fights.
Oh, no. You're getting it all twisted. All I'm saying is, if Billy Joe Saunders' jabs are scoring points and winning in rounds, why aren't Gennady Golovkin's allowed to do that?
Because he's not Billy getting walked down. And
beat the fuck up throwing jabs, bro.
Oh, come on. A scoring punch is a scoring punch. You land a clean.
I know a scoring punch is a scoring punch, but
what do they say? You get a good jab and it will take you to the top of the mountain.
Well, you gotta have something else to go with it though. A good jab.
I can't hear what you're saying. I think it was super close. Super close fight. I'm not screaming robbery. Oscar's coming out. There was a hell of a lot of shit thrown at Canelo. He fought a hell of a fight as well. I didn't have him winning, but that's beside the point. It was real close. And Mike, I'm not coming at you, but to say, I think you're a little naive if you think that. I'm not saying this fight was paid off for by the judges, but if you think there's no corruption going on in boxing, then I think you're a little naive. But
yeah, man, I always try to just fucking hope for the best, man. Wish for the best, but
glass half full, not like you.
You know what I'm saying? I just fucking hate.
Crawford's got a good resume.
Come on, man. Why do we always have to go back here, man? It's a Canelo weekend. Come on, man.
And to back up what you were saying, the guy scored it for Triple G in the first round, and this time he gave it to Canelo. And you said that's proof that it isn't happening.
No. Well, only reason I was saying that because like the way of the fight changed because like. He was consistent for ruling for the aggressor. That's the point that I was trying to make with that.
Ah, okay, you made it a little clearer now because that was still in the corruption sort of conversation. So that was kind of clear evidence that suddenly the guy that scored it for Triple G scored it for Canelo. But now you've explained, we're good, and I won't come at you anymore.
Come at me.
So Nez, yeah, we're gonna hook up Friday, Saturday. You're gonna sneak me in your equipment bag into the AJ fight, and we're gonna watch you beat up fat Ricky Hatton. I mean,
once Ness touched down and he tells Eddie, "Hey man, I'm gonna need me another credential for my guy Robbie Hearn." Oh, Robbie Hearn's here.
Robbie's here running a marathon.
Whoa. Yeah. Tell that bloke to come on back, man. I got him. So Robbie, you be ready, man, for this weekend. All right, you'll be in the building too.
Yeah, let's see what we get.
Speak it, believe it, receive it.
Out to Chris in the ATL. Chris, habla.
What's good? The fight, I had Triple G winning a close fight. I give him credit for the jabs. He outlanded Canelo. It was a close fight.
Dude, every caller's call said it's the same shit. I give him credit for the jab. Y'all ain't talking about no body work, no right hand coming down the middle, no knockdown, no nothing. Y'all talking about a damn jab. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Anyway, there's a lot of disingenuousness in what Oscar was saying. People aren't stupid. You know, all over the world, people see what's going on. They see Canelo, who's getting the benefit of the doubt in every close fight that he's in. They see, you know, crazy scorecards. The guy got a draw versus Floyd Mayweather. So for him to act like he doesn't know why people are reacting the way they're reacting, you know, it's very disingenuous. I will say, though, that Triple G knew what he was getting into, you know, for this fight. You know, Canelo failed 2 drug tests. Golovkin believed he was robbed the first time. So for him to come back and accept the fight and he got paid, and now to claim that it's corruption is kind of, you know, it doesn't look good on his part. It looks like whining. But, you know, the second point I wanted to make is if we're now going to sweep drug tests under the rug, you know, were you willing to sweep Alexander?
Say, hold on before you say anything. We started our conversation about saying Canelo had like 20 some drug tests leading up to the fight, and that's perfectly good. He could have had 40 and that would have been fine with me. Hold on. And then Nestor also said that in his next five to six fights, he should be tested as many times as he needs to be tested to prove that he's a clean fighter. Go ahead now.
He didn't prove nothing. Steroids are taken in cycles. You know when the cycle.
That's your opinion, bro. That's your opinion. Are you a fucking scientist or a doctor?
Avoid the testing. So you cannot.
Are you a scientist or a doctor?
Drugs.
I didn't think so.
Chris, I gave you 2 minutes and 15 seconds because I was finding my internet splitter. We're going to the 239-877. 239-877. I do apologize if I had your number and don't have it any longer, as yesterday's computer malfunction lost my phone list. But what's up, brother? Who's this? Calling in from Minnesota.
What's up, man? No, this is actually in Florida.
239 is Florida?
Hello? Yeah, it is. Southwest Florida.
Okay, what's your name?
Jose, it's my first time calling in.
Oh, shit, Jose from Florida. What part of Florida are you from? I'll be out there all the time.
This is Naples, Florida on the West Coast.
You're right. Damn, he in the rich side, too. You got yourself a nice house. Let's go. I'm going to get and get this first-time call intro. You kind of already gave us your name, but so what? We haven't played tradition in a while.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut,
Jose, first time caller. Thanks for taking my call, man.
So talk to us, brother. How'd you see this fight?
Well, first of all, you know, just thanks you guys for everything you do. I love your videos. You guys are great. As far as this fight's concerned, I'm not upset with the result at all. It was one of the best fights I've seen ever. And the first time I watched it, I gave it to Canelo by close margin. But then I rewatched the fight, and I really felt like Triple G actually took the fight.
Let me ask you one question. What was the main factor in making you watch the fight one more time?
Good question. Well, I guess the reason why I watched it again is just because I started seeing how so many people were
talking about. Like, so many people were saying Triple G won, and I felt like it was either a draw or Canelo won by one round.
All right, so now, I ask you, my second question is, because you were obviously influenced by your social media to go and rewatch the fight with the eye that Triple G won, you don't think that maybe now you're slightly slighted, and that's why you found the fight for Triple G the second time? Because you're going in there with a predetermined notion to look for what Triple G did good, where the first time you just went there to watch a fight.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see where you're coming from with that, you know, but I don't like to look at the fight like that. I'm a fan of both fighters, so I'm really looking for the winner in the fight, you know. This is the first time I was just watching it with my family. It was so enjoyable that I didn't actually score it, you know. I was literally just enjoying the fight, and literally, you know, I felt like Canelo did a little more to pull it off. That's what I thought. That's what I saw. The second time that I watched it, I'm actually looking for what both fighters did. And this is what I found when I watched it the second time. The first, probably the first five rounds, it was hard for me to give Canelo a round. And this is why.
Whoa.
I saw Triple G.
Bro, come on, man. Come on, bro. You really just lost a lot of credibility, bro. The first five rounds, it was hard to give Canelo any round.
I get it, but.
Come on, man.
Let me just explain myself. Let me explain myself.
I was about to cut you. You're lucky you're a first time caller, because you know we only giving out a minute for this first bug. Go ahead. I'm giving you more. Go.
Thanks. What I saw this time, the first five rounds, is that I saw that Triple G was making Canelo miss a lot, man. And I saw Triple G was landing power punches. And actually, if you look at the stats, you're going to see that it actually backs it up. You know, they were landing pretty evenly as far as power punches. And then Triple G was killing him with the jab on top of that. That's what I saw.
Damn, why you cut his ass? Why are you so thank you for it.
Bro, dude said he going off of them. He punched stats and Canelo barely won a round in the first five rounds. Like, come on, bro. Come on, man. I know you say you're a fan of both, but you sound like a fanboy right now. I'm sorry. That's all I'm saying, man. Mm-mm. That's crazy, bro. And the chat is killing me.
First-time caller or a lost number in the 806-292. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Joseph from Plainview, Texas, bro.
Joseph in Texas. I'm going to go ahead and play this first-time caller intro. You already told us where you're from. Actually, I won't play it because it doesn't make any sense. Joseph, just take it away.
Yeah, man, I got 2 points to make here. First point is going into both fights, especially the first one, Triple G was supposed to come in and knock Canelo out. He had all this power. That never came to manifest itself in the fight. And going into the second fight, the judges were under so much scrutiny going in because of how people viewed the first fight. So under all this intense scrutiny, there's no way there was – honestly, I felt like Canelo was the one who needed a knockout to come in and win, because I felt like there was so much scrutiny and so much pressure from fans that he couldn't get a decision the second go-around. But credit to Triple G. I mean, after the sixth round, he looked gassed, exhausted, found some energy in the tank. I gave him 9-11 clearly. I had it 7-5, you know, maybe 8-4 for Canelo, and I watched it three times. But they're just, you know, Triple G, he rallied back, but it wasn't enough. It was too little too late.
Jose, thanks for calling in, brother. We got you. So don't forget to subscribe right here to the YouTube channel. Get those notifications every time we go live, because we do go live often, and we will try to go live at least two more times today, because, you know, I'm going to be taking off to the UK, and there's probably going to be a lot more news to discuss. But definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel right here at youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice, and click that notification bell to get notified. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. If you're going to be in the UK for the Anthony Joshua and Povetkin fight, I'll be there. Let's get up. Mike.
Hey, man, yeah, everybody out there in YouTube land and listening on the podcast, man, please support your brother Ness, man. He's going over to the UK to get you guys some exclusive content from Eddie Hearn, from Frank Warren, from Tyson Fury, from Deontay Wilder, Povetkin, AJ. I mean, the list goes on and on. So just go out there, and if you can, PayPal them, Cash App them, Super Chat them, join Patreon, whatever you got to do to support the brand. And you can find me on Twitter at Gross1911 or on IG, Gross2312. And for all you people out there that are going with Triple G and think Triple G won, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I got Canelo 7-5, 8-4, and that's how I felt the day of the fight. That's how I felt Saturday, and that's how I felt last night when I watched it again. So, I mean Sunday, then last night when I watched it again. So, there you go.
Peace.
Peace, motherfucker.